A public hearing in Anchorage last night on proposed critical habitat for the polar bear didn't draw a big crowd, but it did set up a passionate debate on how much critical habitat the species needs. It also raised the question of whether setting aside the land and sea acreage will really make a difference for the polar bear's survival. APRN's Annie Feit reports.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service wants to designate 187,000 square miles for polar bear critical habitat, an area larger than the state of California, as several people at the hearing pointed out. It's mostly sea ice habitat off Alaska's coast in the Bering, Chukchi, and Beaufort Seas, but it also includes barrier islands and onshore denning habitat along a long stretch of the state's north and west coast. Fish and Wildlife Service says the critical habitat designation will have minimal impacts on industry in the area because there are already strict protections for the species. For Richard Glenn of the Arctic Slope Regional Corporation, that begged a question.
If the creation of critical habitat's not going to result in any additional protection for the polar bear, then why create it? And especially, why establish such a broad, sweeping area of its range for critical habitat? To me, it's like using a fire hose when maybe you might need a water pick.
The critical habitat proposal includes land surrounding Barrow and lands owned by the Arctic Slope Regional Corporation. Glenn worries that will slow economic development in the area. He says the polar bear's survival depends on something a critical habitat designation can't provide.
Nothing is going to create more ice. We can establish that. And so if you remove the economy for our region, you remove the ability for our people to better themselves, we'll suffer the negative impacts of this designation while it helps the polar bear not at all.
The state of Alaska's endangered species coordinator echoed Glenn's concerns at the hearing, along with industry representatives. The proposal estimates the habitat designation will cost industry less than $2,000 extra for each project in the area. Carl Portman with the Resource Development Council says that figure grossly underestimates the real economic impact.
Environmental groups will litigate virtually every industry project within or adjacent to critical habitat, putting them and their associated benefits to local communities, the state, and the nation at risk, and at the very least resulting in costly delays and modifications.
But environmental groups defended the scope of the critical habitat plan. Carla Dutton is Alaska Director for Defenders of Wildlife. She says designating critical habitat doesn't put a halt to development.
We feel that while it looks large and onerous to industry and the state of Alaska, it actually makes sense because they have laid out places where polar bears need to be. And when you have critical habitat designations, it doesn't put a fence around those areas and close them off.
And the Center for Biological Diversity doesn't think the proposal goes far enough. They've asked the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to include more denning habitat on land and even underwater habitat in the plan. Rebecca Noblin spoke on behalf of the group. She says the proposal should also consider climate change and accuse the agency of having a head-in-the-sand approach to the issue.
As agency charged with protecting polar bears, it is the service's responsibility to do everything possible to ensure that polar bears survive and thrive in the coming century. If we do not address greenhouse gas emissions, the polar bear faces certain extinction, very likely well within this century.
The polar bear was listed as threatened under the Endangered Species Act in May of 2008, and critical habitat must be designated under that law. The Fish and Wildlife Service will take more public comment in Barrow tomorrow. The written comment period is open until July 6th. In Anchorage, I'm Annie Feit.